Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How you doing, Kyle?
We don't have time for banner, Dan. We've got news.
Got news to talk about. All right. News time. News. Come on in. Let's get this party started.
We're just skippy two bulls trading information.
I'm inclined to agree.
Trading information.
That is accurate. Very accurate. What information?
Oh, Kyle, I take it you're roaring to go. You got a news article you're just dying to talk about?
Well, I mean, I have a couple that I wanted to mention, but the one that's really been on my mind lately is this Nancy Pelosi trip to Taiwan.
Yeah, yeah. Is she there to pick up some stock tips?
I
I have no idea why she wants to go there. I assume that was why, because it has to do with something with the CHIP Act. I mean, I'm guessing that's where Taiwan Semiconductors is.
That would be probably a fair guess, yeah.
But why the Speaker of the House needs to go to any foreign country in capacity as a government official, I don't get that at all. In fact, this seems like this does nothing but provoke China. And it puts me in a bit of an interesting pickle, because on the one hand, I don't want to bow to China saying, like, don't do that. I'm like, well, fuck you. Send them all.
Yeah. Get them all over there.
But on the other hand, like, I still don't understand, like, why this trip is even, why? Why are we sending the speaker? Why?
I don't know. What did the article say?
It doesn't say why. It just says that members of Congress routinely go there. And apparently they've gone even as recently as earlier this year.
So other members of Congress have gone to Taiwan.
Right. So the more I'm reading this now, the more it's almost looking like it's China wanting an excuse to start acting belligerent. They've seen Russia basically go after Ukraine with sanctions, basically.
Does the article mention the possibility that Congress is androids and they're just going to Taiwan to get serviced?
Not seen that, but there is fears that China may do some sort of military assertion, I guess is the word.
Ah, yes. Funky Taiwan-China thing.
Yeah, back in 95-96, China fired a bunch of missiles to intimidate that self-governed island. So there could be something similar to that, pushing, you know, jets into airspace or other, you know, things, just posturing and threatening.
Okay, yeah.
It's unlikely that they'll do anything like crazy, like try to shoot a plane down or anything like that people are worried about. But I don't know. Just I don't get it. I don't understand why.
It sounds to me like it could just be some thumbing our nose at China, like, oh, you don't actually control Taiwan. Look, we just regularly send our government over there.
Except Biden was on the phone with the leader there saying that, no, we still believe in our one China doctrine or policy, like nothing changes. Even if Pelosi goes, we have no control over her, so it's her choice. But even if she does go, nothing changes as far as our policy.
We still feel like Taiwan is a part of China.
They will not recognize.
Okay. Well, I mean, we do have a lot of dependency on the semiconductors coming out of Taiwan.
We do.
So, I mean, I do think it's important to protect our interests and supply chain that way.
By sending Pelosi?
Well, you know, if there's anybody who's got the inside track on semiconductors, it's a really old lady.
We want someone to get a screaming deal on the stock. I mean, yeah, that's the person.
I don't know, man.
I don't get it at all.
Since when did anything the Congress does make sense? I mean, come on.
Well, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's one exists.
I can think of another example of a congressperson going to a foreign country for no good reason.
What's that?
The Jim Jones Kool-Aid massacre thing. A lot of conspiracy theories there. But a congressman from California was visiting Ghana. I think it was at the time. It's like, why? Oh, we want to make sure the citizens that moved there are doing okay. What? They moved out of the country. You don't worry about them anymore. Right.
Well, apparently, Newt Gingrich went to Taiwan in 97, too. So it's not even like this is the first time the Speaker of the House is gone.
Robots getting serviced. That's the only explanation.
Are you saying Newt Gingrich is Nancy Pelosi with a different chassis?
They upgraded the software.
Has anyone seen the two of them together?
Oh, yes. More conspiracy theories, please. That's right. That's what gets the clicks and the likes.
That's what gets that and feet pics.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah, visit our Twitter for feet pics. Oh, yeah.
Cool. All right. What do you got?
Got a nice little story over on Blomberg.com. JP Morgan's gold secrets spill out in court. Apparently, I didn't realize this. JP Morgan is pretty much the gold and silver precious metal trading desk.
Like the only one?
No, they do 40% of the precious metals trading. They are the clearinghouse.
Is that worldwide or is that just in the U.S.?
London, New York, Singapore, like, everywhere. JP Morgan, they got their fingers all over the place. Apparently, some of their employees, not the bank, because, you know, you can't actually take a bank to court, but the employees, they are under fire for manipulating the market.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think three or four of them now. It's going to jury, so we'll find out what the jury has to say about it. But apparently, they make an average of somewhere between $100 to $230 million a year.
Wow!
Between 2008 2018, running this clearinghouse and doing these trades. In 2020, during the pandemic, they made $1 billion.
Jesus.
So 5 to 10 times the money they usually make. That's how profitable the pandemic was for JP Morgan in precious metals. Yeah, not looking good. Not looking good optically. Let's just put it that way.
Wait, but they're the clearinghouse. They shouldn't be making money trading it, right?
Right, the clearinghouse. Yeah, you're linking up buyers and sellers, right? But
yeah.
Well, they're making quite a lot.
Wow.
And I think that may have played into why they got targeted.
Sounds about right.
Somebody was like, wait a minute, you made $1 billion on this? Do arbitrage. Well, they also have vaults. Like, they're not just the clearinghouse. Like, they'll hold the gold too. They do a ton of business with the actual central banks.
Huh.
That use precious metals as their reserves. At least 10 central banks held their metals in vaults run by JP Morgan in 2010, according to documents that were disclosed in this court case.
Yeah, the more we learn about banks, the scarier they get.
Yeah. I mean, it's not slander because we're actually talking about them being a corp. There's some shady shit going on at banks.
I mean, every time they pop in the news, it seems to be manipulating currencies or their own stocks or... I think I saw some NatWest was in trouble again for laundering money.
Again? No. Yeah. No.
It didn't say if it was the cartels again this time or not.
12th time's a charm.
Sorry, that was HSBC. That was the cartels.
Yes. Well, let's not. NatWest did have the thing with the money in bins.
Yes.
So they might not have been a cartel, but they were definitely laundering a shit ton of money.
And you know that most legit money comes shipped in trash bins.
Yeah, you just wheel your trash can into the bank. Hey, I got a deposit, guys. Yeah. Another trash can full of cash.
Jesus.
Yeah. So we'll find out if these guys were guilty or not.
Probably in another year or two. all right. Well, my second story is the U.S. manufacturing activity numbers came up for July.
Ooh, how we doing?
Actually, not that bad. That was, I think the prior month was a 53. This month was a 52.8. So it contracted less than expected, I think was the wording.
Yeah, that's tiny.
When I was reading through this article, though, what was interesting to me is that any reading above 50% is indicative of expansion in marketing or manufacturing. I'm sorry.
Oh.
And that's about 12% of the U.S. economy.
Okay.
So maybe there's something to this not being in a recession thing.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Let's see. Pooja Saram said that the post-pandemic inventory restocking cycle is winding down amid softening consumer goods demand. This intensifies the risk of a harder landing in the manufacturing sector this year. That said, overall PMI would still need to decline a fair bit to reach readings consistent with an outright economic recession.
Interesting. So employment in manufacturing is not where it typically is during past recessions.
Right. Let's see. Timothy Fiore. I don't think I'm saying that name right. Oh, but damn it. Should I have introduced this as a router story? Reuters?
Yes. Thank you, Coil Spotting, for for letting me know. I did say, was it Reuters?
Yeah.
Instead of Reuters.
I almost corrected you while we were recording that, too.
I'm probably going to call him Reuters again, so don't worry about it.
It'll happen. Yeah, okay. So Timothy Fiore, the chair of the ISM Manufacturing Business Survey Committee, he noted that the companies continue to hire at strong rates with few indications of layoffs, hiring freezes, or headcount reduction through attrition. The better-than-expected reading suggests that the economy was not in recession despite a decline in the GDP in the first half of the year. But businesses are sitting on excess inventories after ordering too many goods because of worries about shortages. So that's the worry that everybody sees in the sector, is that so many people were worried about shortages that they overordered, and that's going to have an effect on demand going further into the year.
Yeah. Because, okay, we'll have too much supply for a bit.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's wild. It's not the story I had prepared, but I did. One of them I was looking at was there was one economist posted on Facebook complaining about the White House changing the name, the definition of recession, and it got fact checked, and it was fact checked as partially false. That he was like, they're in cahoots. yeah, and I closed the article, so I don't know the name or the details on it, but that was the gist of it. But now that we're talking about this, I'm wondering, like, well, maybe the Facebook fact checkers were onto something. They were like, well, you're only partially correct.
Yeah,
they are moving the goalpost, but they're not doing it arbitrarily.
Trying to say the biggest complaint, high inflations. See, four of the six biggest industries, petroleum, coal products, as well as computer and electronic products, transportation equipment, and machinery, have all reported moderate to strong growth in the last month.
Okay.
So strong manufacturing is not really indicative of a recession.
No. Wow. Okay. So yeah, that's the question would be then, if we are using an outdated definition, you wouldn't notice, right, until you're in this situation.
Or maybe this is just a super unique situation in general.
Yeah, with the pandemic and whatnot.
Between the pandemic causing the supply chain issues, the crazy inflation.
The war.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild, wild stuff.
Does that mean all-time highs at the end of the year?
All-time highs at the end of the year. Two bulls called it first.
Oh, God. I hope that happens.
Yeah, we'll be playing that clip later.
Us and Kramer. Yeah,
calling the S&P a buy. It's a buy. Get out there and buy it.
All right. What do we got left? What's the last one?
I got a nice little story. The SEC, Mr. Gary Gensler over there, trying to clean up the wild west of crypto a little bit.
Nice. Is this from the same office as our other friend? The one who was hitting all the insider trading lawsuits or fines?
I don't know.
I don't remember his name.
This doesn't have the name of Carol Welshans, acting chief of FCC's crypto assets and cyber unit.
That's another group. All right. So two different people pushing out the SEC's fines. That's kind of a good sign, I would think, huh?
Well, I don't think this is fines.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we didn't even hear the article.
They've charged 11 people in an alleged $300 million crypto pyramid scheme.
Oh, okay.
The scheme known as ForceAge raised the funds using promoters to convince millions of people worldwide to recruit other people into the program, like a typical pyramid scheme. To quote Carolyn Welshans, acting chief of SEC's crypto assets and cyber unit, ForceAge is a fraudulent pyramid scheme launched on a massive scale and aggressively marketed to investors. Fraudsters cannot circumvent the federal securities laws by focusing their schemes on smart contracts and blockchains. So they were just using smart contracts to organize the pyramid scheme. They weren't, according to the SEC, they weren't even selling tokens.
What?
they were literally just taking money and then spreading it out a la Bernie Madoff style.
Wow.
Yeah, just using smart contracts to do it. That's all.
Sounds smart.
They just automated it. So allegedly automated it. We'll see. Traded on the Ethereum, Tron, and Binance blockchains. Investors apparently in the project would earn their compensation from the people they recruited.
That's a red flag.
Always a red flag. All payouts to earlier investors were made using funds received from later investors, the SEC said. And of course, a ForceAge representative described themselves as a volunteer for the decentralized organization, said the SEC's allegations are nonsense of cryptocurrency newcomers that are not true.
Oh.
So you just don't know crypto, SEC. You just don't understand it.
It's a good excuse.
That's what I would say, too.
God damn. Pyramid schemes are pretty sweet if you can get in at the top, but they're not very good for anybody else.
You get in first, you're good, you're gold.
Just not too first, otherwise you'd be one of the 11 charged.
Right? That 12th guy is sitting pretty.
Yeah, he's sitting all like, woo, touch that bullet.
Oh, amazing.
I hope he bought a lottery ticket.
Yeah, right? Well, I think that wraps up our little news update, Kyle. Anything else you want to say before we move on and kick everybody out of the shop today?
Reuters. It's Reuters.
Potato, potato.
No, that's all I got.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us for this little news update. We'll be back at you soon. Until then, happy trades.
Matt.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.